talking to Jack and Dave Dempsey, the brothers behind the Ink Trails 1 and 2. There's two books now that are out about Michigan's famous and forgotten authors. Whoever wants to answer first here, but how did you come up with the idea and how did you decide that this is something that the two of you want to do together?
I'll take that. This is Dave. Although actually it was Jack who came up with the idea. He's president of the Michigan Historical Commission, has a great interest in Michigan history. But I liked the idea instantly, and it was the first time I'd even thought about Michigan as sort of a cradle of authors. We pretty quickly decided on a method of working together, which was to ship draft chapters and ship them back and forth, and it worked very well. Probably the most time-consuming part of it, in a way, was just trying to figure out which authors. There's so many Michigan authors, including lots that I'd never heard of, to choose from. And we could probably fill 4 or 5 volumes.
Is that the plan? Are you going to proceed?
That's the hope. I don't know if it's the plan. It just depends in part on how well Ink Trails 2 does.
Jack, why don't we take this one with you, and then we can return to Dave. Give us a little bit of background on both of you, and I'm curious, too, on the common grounds where the two of you met to work on this project.
I am an attorney by training. I've been doing government regulation work basically since 1980, inside state government, but mostly outside. I'm a huge history buff. I love history. It's my avocation, I guess you'd say. So getting on the Michigan Historical Commission has been a tremendous experience for the last 9 years. As far as where we came up with this idea and why it really resonated with us, it has to do with the sense of place being inspirational to writers. And we quickly came to the idea out of another idea that Dave had for a potential biography that we should really look into and tell the stories of famous authors with rather unknown Michigan connections or unknown authors who found inspiration in Michigan. So it wasn't difficult to do that, from John Volcker to Robert Frost, then to rather obscure authors, less well-known authors, like Della Lutz, who's known somewhat, but not, I think, by the majority of people, or Harold Titus. Dave's interest is conservation, the environment, and that played into this. My interest is history, and that played into it as well. So we had a lot of common ground.
And you're talking about place here. You mentioned, you know, how place might affect the written word. Did you find that the fact that these authors are from Michigan, did that affect the written word, or did you generally feel that these people would have been who they are and written the way they do regardless?
This is Dave again. I do think Michigan had a significant influence on many of the authors that we profile. I chose, amongst others, a couple of writers about conservation topics, and they wrote about with backdrops, several of them with backdrops set in Michigan and dealing with Michigan natural resources like forests. But even those that are not involved in conservation referred to Michigan, aspects of Michigan, whether it's the Great Lakes or just the community they lived usually in glowing terms. For example, there's a writer named Alan Seeger, who I really enjoyed finding out about, who basically from the Adrian area in far southeast Michigan, and he extolled the sky and the light of southeast Michigan, which I never would have thought much about. So place obviously plays a big role in many of these authors' writings.
We didn't really talk about your background, Dave. Can you tell us about yours as well and perhaps how it influenced some of the authors that you found? Because you just mentioned that you might have looked at them from an environmental perspective.
Well, the most important thing to know is that I grew up thinking I would write the great American novel. Unfortunately, that hasn't happened and probably won't, but I love reading and writing, and I love literature. my career has largely been in environmental protection policy and conservation policy. So I'm drawn to authors that write about not so much, you know, polemics about conservation issues, but people who kind of work those things into their writing and make it interesting in terms of fiction. So Michigan as a place has been central to my career, trying to protect the best qualities of it.
So talk about the criteria a bit here. How did you choose who to include, or did you pretty much include everybody, or how did you go about the research process?
Well, I can take a crack at that. This is Jack. First of all, they had to be deceased. We want to have their whole body of work in front of us. Plus, as a lawyer, I'd prefer not to be sued by anybody for something they might say. But
understandable.
Then some authors are immediately identifiable and writable. We actually had Ernest Hemingway in the first volume, mm-hmm. and he fell on the cutting room floor, but he's back in Ink Trails 2. So we had a plethora of candidates. We actually had to leave a bunch out of the first volume. People made suggestions to us for inclusion in the second, and have added further ideas since Ink Trails 2 came out. So I think we've even got, yeah, like Dave said, enough material for one or two more at this point.
And the other criterion, obviously, is they either had to write about Michigan or be writers who spent part of their lives in Michigan. One that Jack wrote about that I really enjoyed was Carl Sandburg. We don't usually think of him as a Michigan author, but he wrote a good chunk, if not all, of his Abraham Lincoln biography while sitting in a house in the dunes of southwest Michigan along with the Lake Michigan shore. So that's one example of how the criteria worked out.
So I'd like to hear from both of you on surprises that you found, favorites. Who struck you or maybe surprised you the most in your search?
That's a tough question, but I think in a way every single story has some kind of surprise. I was thinking just earlier today as we were preparing for this about this individual named John Neville, who had Texas roots, ended up in Detroit as a PR person in the auto industry. And one day, one summer day, he and his wife and daughter took the quintessential trip up north across the Straits of Mackinac and ended up deciding to jettison that whole life and career and put down stakes near Detour, Michigan, east of what today is I-75, not west, which is not a very well-known area. Just absolutely loved that part of Michigan. And he ended up writing stories about the characters of the Eastern UP and the first book about the Mackinac Bridge, which was erected after they moved up there. So here's a person who was one of the first to ever identify the importance of the bridge. And without having gone up north, we would never have that kind of story. So that's one of my favorites.
I would cite two who are in general from West Michigan. One is a writer named Arnold Mulder, who grew up in Holland. I first stumbled across him because I saw a book online. It's now in the public domain. Anybody can read it, called The Sand Doctor, and it's set in the sand dunes of the Holland area. And to me, it's just a really interesting story. I love the dunes, and I'd never heard of this fellow. The other is Constance Rourke, who was from Grand Rapids, or spent a great part of her life in Grand Rapids. In her day, she was considered sort of a leading authority on American folklore and folk culture, and was nationally renowned. And I'd never heard of her, but delving into her story, I found a lot about her work on the roots of American folklore and kind of a body of work about popular culture. She was an advocate of treating popular culture seriously and not as some sort of a frivolous thing that people shouldn't care about. And she wrote a number of really interesting books along those lines.
Did you travel the state to find most of these, or was it a mix of digging into archives and libraries, or how did you go about the research process? Did you visit a lot of these places?
I think Jack visited a lot more than I did. I have visited a couple. Most of it was research through archives, online research, and some interviews. So I'll let Jack discuss his travel adventures.
Yes, a lot of the sites that we identify in the books that are associated with these authors, I would say that we made visits to most of those, or many of those, and some we've been familiar with for years anyway, so it wasn't a matter of going back to Port Huron or along the St. Clair River. We're very familiar with that. I would say, in addition, online research is amazing. There's so much material that you can read and find out online, or you can order through the MEL, electronic library system through the state of Michigan. So you're able to read a lot of works that aren't published anymore through both of those vehicles.
When you started on this project, did you expect that it would be one volume? Did you at that point realize that you're probably going to be putting together several?
I thought it would be one volume, not because there was not enough material for a shelf full, but I just didn't know what reception it would get. But we heard a lot of good news. And Ink Trails actually was a Michigan Notable book selected by the Library of Michigan. And who else, Jack, is behind that?
I forget. Okay. Center for the Book, maybe?
So getting a Notable book recognition obviously created a market for volume two.
And I'm curious, too, as the two of you worked on this together, what did it do for you as brothers? When you work on a project like this, there's got to be like, wait, I think this and I think that. I want to include this person. I don't. And both of you, well, you, Dave, write. I don't know. Jack, do you write any creative work as well or no?
Not really, unless you call writing for the practice of law creative. And I guess in a sense, that's true. You're trying to advocate and weave a story sometimes out of very thin material. So there
that's
is an
true.
Element
yeah.
of creativity. I would say it's been a fantastic way of getting closer as both of us age, because Dave's a fantastic writer, both creative and nonfiction. So it's been a great process for me, and to have him edit and comment on something I think is excellent and find out, yeah, you're right, it could be vastly improved, has been a lot of fun.
Yeah, we only had a few fistfights, and that was at the beginning, so everything went fine after that. We got a lot closer. No, I would echo that observation. I think we've both grown closer and learned a lot about each other in this process. Jack's a little modest. He does have a body of work outside of this and outside of legal writing. He's written several books about Michigan and the Civil War that have gotten recognition. He also wrote a book about Capitol Park in Detroit, which has an interesting history. So he's written before and since.
That's true. I did see that online, Jack. You really have a strong interest in history. Talk more about your involvement with history.
Well, when I turned 50, I thought I better try to get into heaven by doing something good rather than simply be an attorney. So history being a passion, I looked and found the Michigan Historical Commission had a vacancy or two. And I was successful finally on getting on it, which means being able to advocate for our heritage here in Michigan, which we largely underappreciate.
Yeah.
We are involved in the Historical Marker Program. Calling attention to Capitol Park, as Dave said, has been a great thing. So it's really been rewarding to try to, in a sense, pay it forward for the great life I feel I've been blessed with to live in Michigan most of my life.
What would either of you say current and future Michigan writers could learn from looking at the history of some of the people that you found?
Well, one thing I would say is that I'm sure a lot of these writers died thinking that their work was forgotten and unimportant. But there's always a chance somebody will stumble on, especially these days with the internet, and bring it back to public attention. I guess otherwise, I'm going to steer the question and the answer in a direction I want to go, which is I guess Jack was saying something that I believe after reading these authors and researching them. I think Michigan really comes through as a sort of a character in many of these books, either explicitly or implicitly. It's a great setting for writing because it's so varied and it's so rich in, and from my point of view, in natural resources. Water particularly, I think, influences a lot of the writers that I read about, wrote about, and we shouldn't take that for granted. It's a great studio for writers.
Now, you've only researched Michigan, at least to my knowledge, but I wonder if you have any sense of how Michigan might compare in that sense to other states. Might we be richer in the literary arts or the same? Or
I lived in Minnesota for a while, which is somewhat comparable to Michigan.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of commonalities between the literature of Minnesota and Michigan. Certainly place and water are both topics of interest there. What I would say is I think in Minnesota there's a greater awareness of literary heritage than in Michigan. So the difference is not in the quality and quantity of the writers. It's that I think in Minnesota they're much more revered and placed, elevated higher in memory. So one of the values of the books, the Ink Trails books, I hope is to raise the prominence of Michigan and Michigan writers, mostly in Michigan, but also nationally.
Anything either of you would like to add that I haven't asked? Anything you want people to understand about this piece of work?
This is Jack. I would emphasize the trail aspect of these books. Michigan is now being hailed as a trail state. We're concentrating a lot of public policy and public investment on trails, water trails, the Iron Bell Trail. But in somewhat joking fashion, we've claimed credit for being there first. What these books attempt to do is to get people out of their own den and go to see the writing dens or the locations that inspired these writers and hopefully learn about the areas that inspired them that they might not otherwise go to. So discovering Michigan in a new way because of this cultural slice of our heritage.
Yeah, one example is from the first volume, James Curwood. His writing den was a mock Tudor castle in Owosso that you can go see, where he would go out in the morning and write furiously and then go back to his house. So there are several authors in the books who have, I guess I'd say, little quirky places where they like to write that you can go see.
I wonder, and it sounds like, Jack, you did most of the traveling. Did you find that most of these places where these writers lived and wrote, were they well marked, or did you have to do some digging to find some of them?
Most of them are not well marked. There has to be some detective work involved. Some are private property, so you're really not able to go to the location. But being in the vicinity or driving by, you still are able to, I think, really see the environment that inspired them. So I think part of the benefit of the books is, again, to locate places that otherwise would be forgotten.
Yeah, I want to put a plug in for the chapter that Jack wrote about the author of Paddle to the Sea. I supposedly have been working on Great Lakes material policies for most of my career. I never read Paddle to the Sea until Jack wrote about it, and the author, Holling Clancy Holling, is an interesting person. So it's a classic children's book and actually turned into a movie that people can view online. It certainly tells the story of the Great Lakes in a very accessible way.